the Social Security Administration is hardly retiring like the millions of Americans it supports. In fact, it spends a lot of time looking far into the future. Social Security recently released Vision 2025. It's a living document designed to outline how SSA can accomplish its three main priorities: better customer service, exceptional employees, and organizational innovation. Carolyn Colvin is the acting commissioner of SSA. She told me more about Vision 2025 and what it can help SSA accomplish.
It's really a very visionary document that will indicate where we expect the agency to be in the next 10 years as a result of the technological changes, the demographic changes, the changes that will occur with our employees and the budget. This is a document that was developed with a great deal of input from our employees, our labor management unions, and all of our various stakeholders, including the community advocates, individuals who receive benefits, as well as congressional representatives on the Hill, OMB, and other interested individuals. So it's been a very involved process. Our hope is that our employees and our labor management groups will see themselves in the vision that's been developed. We worked with NAPA, as you may know, who sort of provided an environmental scan, and we took that information and other information from other sources and developed the vision document over a nine-year period. And this is an exciting time for us in releasing the vision document because we're also celebrating our 80th anniversary here at Social Security, and we know that we touch the lives of most Americans, and so this is an exciting time for us here.
All right, so the vision itself, we should, I guess, point out that this is very different from the actuarial studies that SSA regularly does, looking at expenditures based on the population trends and so forth.
Oh, absolutely. This is, as I said, a very visionary document. It's a long-range service delivery vision. From this vision will be a document that will be developed, which is a four-year strategic plan that will have more concrete, specific implementation measures. But the vision document is not designed to go into that level of detail. It's really a North Star or guide for Social Security that will show how we will accomplish a number of things over the next 10 years. And we focus on three key priorities. First, superior customer service. Second was exceptional employees. And third was an innovative organization over the next decade and beyond. And so I think that the vision reaffirms our commitment to our customers for outstanding service, and we will be focused on meeting their needs when and where they need us while maintaining a face-to-face presence in the communities that we serve. We will also focus on strengthening our workforce by empowering and supporting employees throughout their careers. Our employees are the strength of this organization, so we thought it was very important to focus on that. And then, of course, finally, it focuses on remaining committed to strong working relationships with our labor unions and management associations and working in a collaborative way to ensure that we serve the American public in the way they should expect. We are also always looking at enhancing our organization through continuous improvement, innovation, and strategic thinking. So we're excited. We believe that it's something that everyone can buy into and can see where we're trying to go.
All right, so picking up from where we were on the three basic priorities, let's talk about customer service, because Social Security clearly is moving away from an in-person walk-in model. What is the long-term vision for customer service?
Well, let me say that we are not moving away from a walk-in model. What we're doing is providing a number of options. We have always believed that the American public should have choice in the way in which they choose to conduct their business with us. So, of course, the basic way in which that has occurred in the past has been on over the 800 number or by walking into one of our local offices throughout the country. And those two options will always be there. But we also know that technology advances allow us some other options. We already have some limited online services, and certainly the public has made it very clear that they, in many instances, would like to do business with us online. But customer choice will remain the centerpiece of our service delivery system. It has always been our commitment to have services in the community for those people, one, who need it because of the complexity of their issues or because they prefer face-to-face services. But we do encourage those customers who prefer to use online options to make use of the ones that we currently offer and to be attuned to the ones that we're going to make available in the future. We want to offer our customers more options, including more online options, but also face-to-face and telephone options as well. We realize that some segments of our population are not able to now, nor will they be able to in the future, to interact with us online. And we're not going to leave those vulnerable populations behind.
We're speaking with Carolyn Colvin. She's acting commissioner of the Social Security Administration. And regardless of how people interact with Social Security, the underlying systems and IT that support all of the interactions, whether in person or telephone or online, whatever the case might be, have to really be invested in continually. And that's something the agency has done for a long, long time. How does the vision take that all into account?
I think we build upon what we have done in the past. We are always looking for continuous improvement. We're looking at how the technological advancement will allow us to make it even more convenient and easy for our customers to use online services. We also know we have to deal with the realities of our budget. We also have an aging workforce, so we have to recognize that we're going to be bringing in many new staff, hopefully over the years. So all of those factors will go into determining how we deal with our customers. You know, our retirement program is much, much easier to be handled online. The disability program is more complex. So we know that individuals will have choices and options that they choose to utilize.
So if you were to look out now in the next few years, besides budgetary, what do you think are the major challenges for Social Security?
Well, we have an aging population. We had projected that we would see more women coming into the workforce and therefore getting benefits on their own records. We knew that the baby boomers would be aging out. Right now, we have over 60,000 individuals who are on our rolls who are 100 years of age and older. So we know the changing demographics will create challenges for us. We also know that we have fewer workers, women having fewer children, so we knew there would be some imbalances there. The trustees projected as far back as 1995 that we would have some issues around our trust funds, and so that has not come as a surprise to us.
And what's been the reaction, especially from Congress, on the 2025 plan?
The reaction has been mixed. However, we believe that members of Congress recognize that the Social Security program is the underpinning of economic security in this country. There are a number of proposals that are circulating on the Hill. We believe the president's budget for 2016 provides a very responsible plan for addressing the immediate solvency problem around the DI program. You may recall that the president's plan would temporarily reallocate a portion of payroll taxes going into the OSI and DI trust funds, and this has been done many times in the past. This would ensure that full Social Security benefits are paid until 2033 under both the Retirement and Survivors Program and the Disability Program. This would be a temporary reallocation of a small portion of payroll taxes from the OASI fund to the DI trust fund, and it would be for about a five-year period. We also are excited about the president's proposal to reauthorize and expand the agency's demonstration authority so that we can identify promising improvements to the disability program and measure their impacts on the program. There are a lot of options that are being proposed on the Hill, and we think that it will simply be a matter of Congress being able to embrace those various proposals in a bipartisan way that would then give us some long-term resolutions to the problem that currently exists. But I want to stress that the Social Security trustees predicted the need for reallocation as far back as 1995, right after Congress enacted the last tax rate reallocation.
And so that's where your smart actuaries come in.
I think so. And they provide estimates, confidential estimates, to Congress as well as to the White House and many other venues. And I think that we feel very comfortable that their predictions have been pretty much on target.
And let me just ask you a question about the issue of disability claims and the backlogs and so forth.
Yes.
Aren't there certain processes that simply can't be automated because there are too many variables in them? And so how do you balance the need for automation versus the need for that human discretion on these cases without having enough people you could probably use to get all the cases through the system?
Well, that's an excellent question. There's always going to be the balance between human intervention and technology. But the more we can move to technology, that will free up employees who need to be available for the more complex adjudication and other types of activities. So technology will never fully eliminate the human involvement. The cases still have to be adjudicated. But if we're able to, just as we were able to move paper processes to electronic processes, now if we can use more of the expert systems to help to make sure that the individual worker is moving in the right direction and eliminating redundancy and duplication of effort, I think more employees will be available to do the more difficult work.
And a final question. You have had a long career in human services at state, county, national level. Will you be content to retire as having not been confirmed, but the acting commissioner?
Oh, I have never been concerned about the title. I came out of retirement because of my passion for this program and my passion for public service. I don't do this job by myself. It takes the dedication and commitment of a superior workforce, which I'm very proud to lead here at Social Security. They have embraced me as their leader and have worked to continue to provide the outstanding customer service that we've always been known for. Certainly, who would not have wanted to be the confirmed commissioner? But that's not a problem for me at all. I love what I'm doing. I've been greatly honored and privileged to be able to lead an organization that has meant so much to my family and to so many people that I love and care about and to the American public in general.